All right, gang, we are here. We're a day late, probably a few dollars short, but it is the AU Wishbone sort of preliminary episode. John and I have been out and about, and we've both been on the road. You know how these things go when we're both away from home at the same time, roughly. It gets very complicated, but we are here. Are you there, John?
I'm here, Van.
And we are talking over Skype. We're using like 1985 technology. It's very exciting.
The Wishbone abandoned this technology, and we were forced to come back to it for this special episode.
This is like that scene in Captain America Winter Soldier when they go down in the bunker and the German scientist is like a computer with reel-to-reel tape and stuff. We're down in the bunker.
That is it exactly.
Yeah. And now I can't think of his name, and it was just the answer to a trivia question at Dragon Con a couple of days ago that I asked. The biophonetic. Arnim Zola, of course, yeah. Well, anyway.
And he was Swiss, not German.
Yeah. Anyway, we're here because we can't do the actual full show yet. We're going to try to do it in a couple of days. But in the meantime, we did want to, while it was still timely, just quickly put out something where we talked a little bit about the first game of the season. Now, of course, everybody knows I was off at Dragon Con, but I still got to watch. I think I saw pretty much the whole game because we were on the East Coast, and so it didn't start till after 7 o'clock. And so I was done at 6:30, and Jared and I hopped in the car and got back to our place with everybody else, with Delvin and Pat and Kathy and all the rest of them, and Mira, of course, you know, real quick, and we got to see pretty much the whole game. So did you get to see the whole game?
I did see. I watched every minute.
There you go. And so, and of course, then we flipped over and saw the end of Georgia-Clemson, which is a whole other situation. But 70 points scored, 60 of them by us, which is a good thing. Before we kind of let's do a little bit of digging around the nitty-gritty of it. But first, just kind of what were your overall impressions of Auburn and how the game went?
I think the game went very well from Auburn's perspective. I think the team was prepared. They came out sharp. They didn't. You know, it wasn't one of these situations where they underrated their opponent, so they were kind of sleepwalking through it. I think they were excited to be back in the stadium with fans and excited to be playing football again. And they wanted to show this new coaching staff, you know, that they what they could do. I think the new coaching staff was very focused on just go out, don't look ahead, focus on this game, and execute and do your job. And they did that. I think Auburn played very well. And yeah, Akron's terrible. Yes, 100%. But you know, when Auburn executes well, we didn't turn the ball over. We only had like two penalties. The offense scored, you know, touchdowns on like their first seven drives or something. I mean, it's strong. It was strong execution, and I was very happy with how the game went. And there were no major injuries. So.
Yeah, we only punted twice, which is pretty remarkable. We actually did lose the time of possession battle pretty handily, 35, almost 36 minutes for Akron, just 24 minutes for us. But I think that we made use of our time very efficiently for when we had the ball. I mean, and that's...
Just another demonstration of how useless that stat is, that game.
No kidding. Well, and but here's a big part of that is Akron had 3 yards per play per average. We averaged over 10 yards every time we snapped the ball. We averaged a first
That's
down
right.
plus every time we snapped the ball.
That's
crazy.
Right.
316 rushing yards to minus three. You got to think you're having a pretty good day at the office when you get 316 rushing yards, the other guy gets minus three. Unless you're playing a Mike Leach team, in which case you could have still lost.
It's true.
Because he's got 600 passing yards. But no, 297. Bobo, not Bobo, but Bo, 20 of 22, 275 yards, 3 touchdowns. By the way, there were no turnovers in this game. Neither team turned the ball over. That's pretty amazing. But what did you think about Bo's performance? And was it just because Akron's defense is sort of coverage optional?
No, it was not. I think Bo Nix had a very strong performance. I was watching him closely the whole game. I think every time he threw the ball, I think he set his feet well and he was on balance. And I think he, you know, the scheme, I think, helped him. There were guys that were open, and there were throws that he made that weren't perfect, right, that were behind receivers or not quite a target, and the receivers adjusted and made the catch. And he can get better at those. So, you know, it was 20 to 22, but it wasn't perfect. So there's still things I think they can work with him on. On the other side, I think there were some things he did that were really good. My favorite play in the whole game was kind of early in the game. There was a play when Auburn was around midfield, and they called a deep pass, and Bo dropped back to look down the field, There wasn't anybody there, and he kind of thought about running, and then he didn't, and then he dumped it to Tank Bigsby in the left flat for about 8 yards. And I just loved that play. I thought it was great that it was part of the offense, but also that he, you know, he didn't sprint out, and he didn't try to force it either. I thought that was really important.
Yeah, I think that he played well, and I think that the offense, the plays that they had for him and the scheme put him in a good position to make good decisions, and that's what we want. I mean, and I like the idea that the mistakes he made are ones you believe are correctable, because there were plenty of people who had come to the conclusion that the mistakes he was making these days were not correctable. So that's a step forward, that there are things he can do to get even better. You know, it's not, he's not at the top of his potential.
No.
So, Tank, 13 carries, 119 yards, 9.2 per carry. And yet, interestingly enough, he had the shortest per carry average of any running back. That was very interesting to me. At 9.2, he was the low man. But they were the.
He was, but he was facing them, their defense fresh at the beginning of the game and stuff. And
exactly.
You know, they were, and when he was in the game, they were really focused on stopping him. Like, they've like, let Auburn pass the ball, we got to stop Tank, you know, which I think we're probably going to see again, right?
Yeah. And with more of a pass rush on Bo as he's trying to do that, and with better coverage on the receivers. So I'm optimistic, certainly for next week, this coming weekend, but I'm cautiously optimistic going forward, because I feel like he's going to see a much stronger pass rush, and he's going to see much better covered receivers. I don't think he's going to be standing back there having lunch like he was Saturday and then delivering the ball to a receiver when there's not a defensive player on the screen next to him. You know, that's a luxury you get against Akron that you're not going to get against many of the teams, although you might get it this time.
That's true.
What about Jarquez Hunter? I was very impressed with him. 9 carries, 110 yards, 12.2 average, and a touchdown.
I was very impressed as well. I think I am no longer concerned about running back depth this season. I think he is very impressive, and if something happened to Tank or Shivers for a game, I think we would be okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember who Sean Jackson was. 2 carries, 22 yards. That's pretty good. But
he's a walk-on from Hewitt Trussell, who's a bigger running back, which is actually kind of a nice change of pace for him. He's a bigger power back.
Okay, so I remember
that.
Now.
I like getting that one.
Yeah, that's cool. So, and then, of course, Shivers had 2 for 24, 12 average, and a touchdown. Why do you suppose we didn't see much of him running the ball?
He caught a few passes, too. But also, I think it's kind of like they know what they have in Shivers, right? I think we know what we've got in him, and they wanted to see what they had in the younger guys.
Yeah, that's true. And among the receivers, who saw Shedrick Jackson, the Shedrick Jackson experience coming? That was pretty impressive of him.
It was. You know, he started a lot when Gus was the coach. But it was always like, oh, he's a great blocker. He'd be great blocking out there on these, as a receiver for these run plays. And so when he was listed as a starter for Harsin and them, it kind of caught people by surprise. And people like, oh, are we using him to block again? But the reality is, he's a good receiver. Mm-hmm. He made plays. He was, you know, and I think Bo Nix is comfortable with him, and he has a lot of experience. He's played in a lot of games.
Yeah.
So he had a good game, and I think he could be a steady, you know, receiver that catches the balls and makes some plays. I think he, you know, we got the little guy, Javarius Johnson. We got the Georgia transfer, Demetrius Robinson. They all caught some passes. And Shinker, the tight end, caught 5 passes.
Yeah, that was very exciting that Shinker was here. I'm going to have to get the quote from of Roy Kent from Coach Lasso, but Shinker was here. He was there. He was every blanking where John Samuel Shinker. He was 5 catches, 38 yards. I mean, average 7.6. That's a good day at the office for an Auburn tight end, right? That's a career day for an Auburn tight end the last few years. So,
you're right that he was everywhere because he was at fullback. He was split out wide. He was mm-hmm. up that close as a tight end. He did play all over.
So looking at the receivers, what did we learn about this receiver group?
I think we're okay. I mean, I think Jackson is going to be more of a lead guy than we thought. And, you know, Javarius Johnson and Demetrius Robinson are both kind of good options to run after the catch with the ball. And I think we're, you know, they spread it around. That's the other thing. It's not like we got one guy we're force feeding him the ball either.
Yeah, they really did. Let me say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different players caught a pass. And only 2 of those were Shivers and Bigsby, 1 each. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, 5 catches, 3, 2, 5, 3, 1, 1. Yeah. And they looked like they were able to get open against Akron. And they caught the ball. They didn't drop it. It didn't look like, you know, that kind of the Grand Canyon depths of that kind of thing was the that Arkansas game a few years ago where we just couldn't catch the ball to save our lives. And this looked like they all had tree resin, not just stickum, but like, you know, pine resin mm-hmm. all over their hands. They could not catch the ball. That was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, one of the 2 misses Bo had was kind of a drop by Hudson, but it wasn't a perfect on target pass, but he could have caught it.
Yeah.
But you're right, though. There was the receivers were in good position, and they did a great job catching the ball and making a play.
So, yeah, hopefully having 2 kind of exhibition games before we play somebody who's a serious challenge will be helpful. I want to get your impression about the defense. You're a known connoisseur of defense. Defense looked pretty good out there. What did you think?
I was very happy. Got a lot of pressure upfield, a lot of pressure on the passer, a lot of guys running around the backfield. I like the scheme and the way they're using the players. I thought, you know, Derek Hall and T.D. Moultrie had really good games at outside linebacker, and Romello Height did as well. He's the backup, primary backup for those 2. All 3 of those guys had really good games. They were in the backfield constantly causing problems for the other team. You know, the linebackers were what they, you know, they're who we think they are. They're steady, make a plays. And the secondary didn't go a lot of work, mainly because this team, you know, couldn't throw the ball for anything. So that'll change down the road. But I think it was a really good start for the defense. The tackling was fine. The defensive line and the outside linebackers created a lot of problems for the team. And we got to play some younger guys in the second half. But there was a moment when, you know, they were trying to keep the shutout. They put the starters back in. So they actively thought about that kind of stuff and cared.
Yeah. Yeah, that was interesting. There wasn't a lot of play by the special team, so I really don't know what there is to say. I mean, Carlson had a 44-yard field goal. That was his only attempt, and he nailed it. Otherwise, he kicked a lot of extra points. He missed an extra point, didn't he?
Yeah, he missed the first extra point, and that was like kind of jarring, but also like maybe just my view is like get it out of the way now. Get it out of your system before we play a good team.
That's a good point, yeah. It's funny, too. We had a streak going there a couple of years ago, remember, and then we finally missed one. So I guess if we're going to miss another one, go ahead and do it so we can get back to starting a new streak. Because we have, like, don't we have, like, the longest streak in SEC history? I think we do.
We did have the longest streak in SEC history, and one of the longest in NCAA history, I think.
So. Yeah, yeah. So, all right, what else do we need to talk about here? The We talked about the running back. I mean, Tank looked really, really good, didn't he? He's just as amazing.
Yeah, no, he had a great year last year, played in a limited number of games, and he is primed to have a big, big season. And he's I think he's the engine that can make the offense go. And I think we saw him doing the same Tank stuff, breaking tackles, making plays in the open field. He's going to be exciting and fun to watch this year.
He's just got that combination. He's quick. He's got the vision. He's got power. He's got speed. And he can make himself hard to hold on to. He's got that mm-hmm. catfishing Vaseline effect that we talk about, where he just – other players get wrapped up. He just kind of shakes them, shimmers them off. And it's really quite remarkable to watch. So, but I keep coming back to this was Akron, and I just keep thinking – we should have beaten Akron this bad. I'd be upset if we hadn't, But then again, remember we played Mercer a few years ago and barely got by them. We had to come down to the last minute.
That's
so.
Right. And that's right. And this is the other thing I want people to take. Yes, Akron was terrible. But there were a lot of good football teams last weekend who, A, lost or, B, almost lost to way worse teams. And so Auburn didn't have any – there wasn't any danger there. Auburn went out and took care of business the way you should against an inferior team. They did what they were supposed to do against a far inferior team, and that's what we want to see.
Well, I guess the other thing is the coaches. So what did you think about the coaching, the play calling, the schemes and everything now that we got to see them in action?
The offensive scheme was good. It was, there was a lot of different stuff, but at the same time they didn't throw the whole thing out there. There was a lot of basic, one back, one tight end kind of formations, but then also there's some other stuff, a lot of two tight ends. Mm-hmm. They actually ran that east formation we talked about last week near the goal line, and Bo ran it out of that formation. And then there was a couple times they did I formation and he was under center and Schenker was the fullback. So it was good to see they were keeping the team off balance and showing future opponents lots of stuff on film. But I think it was good. And I think the other thing is there were different pass patterns we haven't seen before that, that weren't part of the other offense, but the combinations of them and the way we're using the different players. So I thought that was good to see. And defensively, again, it's a different kind of defense. It's a 3-4 instead of a 4-3. And so, the players had different responsibilities at different positions, but I thought again, one of the things we always think about with a coaching change was the existing players who were on the roster and how they will be, given a new lease on life because of the new scheme. I think Moultrie is going to be the poster boy for that this year. He was a great high school recruit, and he hadn't had that kind of career yet at Auburn, but this position is much better for him than what we were using in the Kevin Steele defense. I think he's really going to have a great year. So
that would be very nice. That would be very good. So I guess my final analysis is just we don't have enough data because we don't know enough about Akron. They just didn't really seem like they were anywhere near our caliber and able to challenge us, and we've had much greater challenges like in practice in the A-Day game and so forth in scrimmages, but that's to be expected. And so, and we've gotten a lot of conflicting information. It's one of those things where you kind of need to fill in a lot of spaces before you really know what you're looking at. Like, Penn State won at Wisconsin. Okay, well, how good is Wisconsin? We're not sure. Well, LSU lost to UCLA, so is UCLA like the number one team in the country, or is just UCLA okay and LSU actually kind of bad? I mean, there's a lot of things that, Georgia beat Clemson, but they only scored 10 points, and seven of that was a pick six. Does that mean Clemson's defense is as great as it has been, and Georgia was lucky to, with their great defensive performance to get out with a win with a defensive score? I don't know. Or they just have a bad offense. You know what I mean? We don't have enough data yet from multiple dimensions. We just have like the one thing. So I need more information, John.
All right, we'll get some more this week.
Yes, we will. So Alabama State, I guess we'll talk about this when we do our regular show coming up. But any preliminary thoughts on that?
Not much better or different than Akron.
Yeah, have a good band, I understand.
Yes. Entertaining halftime show.
I am told to find the channel that will show the halftime show because it will be worth it. Yeah. All right. Well, any last thoughts in our little just quick overview of this game?
No, again, I was very happy to get the Harsin era off this way. I think they took care of business and did what they were supposed to do and got out there. And you know, it was good for them to be in a full stadium and have fun. And I think it went well.
Yeah, my final thought is this. The last thing that Harsin and Auburn needed was to struggle in a game like this. And they, you know, whether 60-10 is about what it should have been or more than it should have been or not as much of a win as it should have been, it seems satisfactory. Like, we went out there against an inferior team and we rung them up for 60. We kept them to 10, and that was at the very end when we were playing, you know, like the water boy and whatever. So I think that was about the most positive outcome that this regime, that Harsin, could have, because I think it quieted the snipers and the critics, at least for this week.
Yeah, and again, like I think Auburn's better than people think it is.
Yeah.
So we'll leave that when we record the big show.
There you go. All right. We had to get something in for you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. We will see you again later this week. Just keep your eye on the AU Wishbone feed, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, or just on Twitter, and we'll announce it for sure. And we'll be back in a couple of days with a more full show. And we have a guest of the game. In fact, Jared's already sent us two games, so we're good to go on that. So, John, I guess our time for now is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.